Would you turn that light out over there, brother? Thank you. It helps everyone see that a little better. Let me, Brian, make sure those monitors are down, brother. I want to talk to you today about a plan that God has for our lives. How many believes this morning that God has plans for our lives? About half of you do. And I want to kind of build a foundation this week and next week get into telling you how to identify those plans. I'll touch on it a little bit this week, but I want to build a foundation so that you understand that God does have plans for His people, and He has plans for every individual in here today. Now, having said that, there's a lot of folks that will never, never, never experience what God has for them. And I'll touch on that just a little bit today. Here in Jeremiah 29:11, this is what it says. It says, "For I know my thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord." Now, this is God speaking, right? "Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Now bring up the NIV version, Brian, if you will. I want to show you what it says. It's a modern version of the King James. And I like the way it puts it. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you." Say that with me, plans. "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Now that says a mouthful right there. It says, "I know my plans I have for you." God has plans for us. And He's talking to Jeremiah, but it's really a statement to the whole body of Christ or to the children that belong to God. "I know my plans for you. I have plans, declares the Lord." Plans to what? To prosper you. God wants to see you blessed. Say blessed. Blessed. God wants to see you blessed. And look at what else he says. "And to not harm you." You know, I get real disturbed when I hear ministers get up and start saying, "God's out to get you." God's not out to get you. God's for you. And the Bible said, if God be for you, who can be against you? In Romans chapter 8, verse 37. So God isn't not trying to hurt us. God has a future for us. God has plans for us. He has laid out plans for each and every one of our lives. Plans to prosper us. That means to bring blessings in our lives. And not to harm you. Plans to give you hope. You know what hope is? That's a earnest expectation of what the future holds. Now right now in the society that we live in, and the economy the way it is, and the world the way it is, you can get sidetracked off of this, and you begin to think that there is no future, there is no hope. And there's nothing to look forward to. It's just going to get worse and not better. If you listen to the news media, that's what you'll get ingrained in you. But look what he says. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you expectation of a future. Or plans to give you hope and a future. God has a future mapped out for each and every one of us today. Listen to me today. God has plans to prosper us, not to bring harm to us. To give us an expected end and a future. In John 10:10, and I don't know if I put that verse down. I want to show you something. Yeah, John 10:10, you had it. John 10:10. Oh, John 10:10. There we go. "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy." Who is he talking about here? This is Jesus speaking. Satan. Satan comes to steal and to kill and destroy. Now listen, this is Jesus speaking. And then he contrasts himself with the enemy, or Satan, the devil, as we call him. And he says, "I am come that you," or they, or us, "might have life. And that we might have it more abundantly." God wants to give us life in its full. And he wants to give it to us in abundance. God has plans to prosper us. Here in 3 John 2 it says, "Beloved," and he's talking to the church, "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Now I want to say this. Listen to me this morning. God is not the author of sickness either. Come on down. God's not the... Why would God be the author of sickness if Jesus bore the stripes for our healing? Wouldn't that be contradictory to what God's plans are? I mean, if God was creating sickness to throw upon us, and then He sent His Son to bear all the sickness, wouldn't that be contradictory? That would be equivalent to saying God created sin so that He could put sin on His Son at the cross. We know better than that. Sin came into the world because Satan came into the world, and because Adam fell for his lies, and then it started a chain reaction of events in the world, was sickness, sin, sickness, death, and poverty. But God says, I've come to give you life, and I've come to give it to you more abundantly. And He says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, what He's saying here is God wants to give you prosperity. He wants to give you health. He wants to give you a future. But He says, look, there has to be some soul prosperity. What does it mean by soul prosperity? It means we've got to begin to think in line with what God's Word says, God's plans are, if we expect to experience what God has. This doesn't just fall off the trees like ripe cherries. I wished it did, but it doesn't. It means we have to get in line with God's Word. We have to think the way God thinks in the sense of what God's plans are. Now it says, as our soul prospers, that goes hand in hand. When you begin to think right, you'll begin to act right, won't you? You know why people do some of the things they do? It's because of the way that they think. Now a lot of people do them and don't even give thought to the way they're thinking, but it is a thought pattern in their life that creates habits in our lives. And that's what makes people do some of the things they do. So when we begin to think like God thinks, we'll begin to act a little different. And when we begin to act different, act right, if you will, guess what happens? You'll begin to prosper in every area. Amen. You know, a lot of people are sick in their body because they're sick in their mind. That's what it means about soul prosperity. How many knows what a hypochondriac is? That is a person who thinks sickness all the time. It's one thing or another. And believe it or not, in medical science, it is proven fact that if you'll think sickness long enough, that you'll begin to get symptoms in your body. But that's not really what I want to focus on. What I want to draw your attention to today is what we talked about, that God has an expected end for you. Jeremiah 29:11 in the NIV, bring that one back up. He says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and to give you hope and a future. Give you a future. God has plans for our lives, and He has plans for our future, not just for today and tomorrow, but for eternity. But I'm talking about in this life. God's, you know, somehow in the church, we think that God's only interested in let's having heaven when we leave this life. And between now and the time that we make heaven, we just somehow exist and get by, and that makes God happy. That's not what God's intentions are for His people. God has a very specific plan for us, and He wants us to experience that plan. Now, in eternity's past, in the vast complex of time before God, before man was ever created, God sat down in a planning session. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says in His foreknowledge, He knew you. That means He knew you before you ever existed. All right? And before time ever existed, He unfolded on the inside of God this plan for man and mankind. And in that time, He passed from generation to generation, planning out every intricate detail of every life that would be born on the face of the earth. God, listen, Jesus said not one jot nor tittle would pass from the law to all be fulfilled. If God is that particular about things, do you think that He got down to the minute details of our lives? He knows everything. He knew everything. He knows everything. He planned everything out. Because the Bible said He foreknew us, and who He foreknew, He predestined. That means He predetermined our destiny. God's desire was to recover as many from Satan's grip and to gather unto Himself a people that He could call His own, His family. Now, during these planning sessions, God came across your name, Brad, your name, Mike, my name, your name, JD. He came across every name that is named in the earth. He knows each one of us. He knows us intricately. He knows every detail about us. And He formulated a perfect plan for your life. A plan that is specifically just for you and nobody else. Look at Jeremiah 1 and 5. It says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Did you hear that? God said, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Let me take a sidetrack before we go further with this. In the scriptures, it says Jesus was crucified before the foundations of the world. Is that what it says, preacher? Isn't that right? You who know your Bible? What does that say to you? That says this, that God already had predetermined that Jesus Christ, before He created man, He knew man would fall. And He had already had a plan to recover man through Jesus Christ. It said, before the foundations of the world, Jesus was slain. That doesn't mean that God slain Him. Then it means that in the plan of God, in the mind of God, God had already prepared a way for salvation for humanity, even though we hadn't even been born yet. So God knew. Now look what He says to Jeremiah. He says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." What? Before you was ever made, God knew Him. That's what He's saying. And that's what I'm telling you this morning. Before we were ever formed in this life, God knew us. You're not an accident this morning. You didn't just happen by chance. You know, I've heard some people say that some children were born by accident. And what they mean is there wasn't contraceptives or carefulness used during the marital thing that happens. But I'm telling you today, God knew us before we was ever born, and there are no accidents in God. None. God don't make mistakes. And He said, "I formed you in the belly. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you." And before, that doesn't mean that Jeremiah existed, but it meant that God knew that Jeremiah would exist and that He already had laid out plans for Jeremiah before Jeremiah was ever born. Now look what He says. He says, "Before I formed you in the belly, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." I don't know if we have that in the NIV. Did I have that marked down? Jeremiah 1 and 5. Well, let me read it to you what it says there. I think I'm quoting this right. In that verse, He's talking to Jeremiah. Before He formed him in his room, He knew him. He did know him because He formed him and had a plan, it says. I set you apart. I appointed you a prophet unto the nations. That's what that word sanctified means. I set you apart. I ordained you. I appointed you a prophet unto the nations. I want to tell you this morning, God has plans for each and every one of us. He has specific plans. He told Jeremiah, "Before you were formed, I knew you. And after I formed you, I'd already had a plan in place how I was going to use you in this life and what direction I wanted you to go in life. I set you apart for a specific task, Jeremiah, and it was to be a prophet unto the nations." Now, if He was that specific about Jeremiah, do you think He's that specific about us? Yes, God said, "I created you, I have a plan for you, and it's a specific plan for you, and it's for you and you alone, and you're the only one that can fulfill that." Now, Paul the Apostle, how many remember Paul the Apostle in the New Testament? Bring that one up if you would. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 through 16. Paul was Saul, and he was on a course, but it wasn't the course that God had planned for him when he was Saul. He thought he was, but he was actually on the wrong course. How many's ever been on the wrong course? How many's ever went somewhere and you thought you knew where you're going only to get, not really get where you thought you was going to go? You got lost, in other words. I bet all of us has done that. And, you know, I used to have to go to New Jersey about two or three times a year, and we had to go to Baltimore, which is the dumbest thing I ever heard of. But they saved a bunch of money. So they'd fly you to Baltimore. And from Baltimore, you rent a car, which is 3 hours to Millville, New Jersey. And I bet I went 8 times and I bet I took 8 different routes to get there. The short route took you about 2.5, 3 hours. The long route that I took one night took me almost 7 hours. I kept going through this this community and I kept, none of this looks familiar. And I just kept going and going and going. And I was praying, oh God, get me where I need to go. Help me find some highway that I could, because I didn't know where I was. I went through 3 different states, but I made it. But I'm saying there was an easier way, there's a best way, and there's a long route. Most of us in God's plan don't even get to experience what God has for us in life. But look at Paul, what he said. He says, but when it pleased God, this is Paul the apostle talking. Now listen, this was Saul before he was Paul, who was not in the plan of God. He thought he was, but he wasn't. But when it pleased God, whom separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Look what it says. It says, it pleased God to separate me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. He had a purpose for him. For what? To reveal his son, that I might be preach him among the heathen or Gentiles. God had already set him apart for a specific task. Now, Saul was on a collision course with God and didn't even know it. Saul thought he was following the path of God and was lost. And then on the road to Damascus, God intervened into his life. And here's one of the reasons I believe that Saul got to fulfill the plan that God had for him. Because even though he was on a collision course with hell, God had mercy on him because he did it in ignorance. He did not, he thought he was doing God's will. He thought what he was doing was being a blessing to God. And he thought he was following the plan of God. But on the road to Damascus, we know that that he began to show him something different for his life. And ultimately, but what I want you to see is God separated him from his mother's womb. Listen to me this morning. God has separated each one of us from our mother's womb. You say, well, preacher, you don't know my life. No, but God does. And see, God knows what he separated you for, the plans that he had for you. Now listen, not everybody will experience the plan of God. That's very unfortunate. Matter of fact, most won't. Most won't. And there's one big reason why. Because of our hard-headed, hard-hearted, stubborn wills. That's to put it kindly, okay? And I'm not trying to beat nobody up, but what I'm telling you is that most of us will miss the plan of God. Some because we don't even know that God has a plan for us. We don't know that God, the creator of heaven and earth and all that's within, he cares about little old me. Sure he does. Every one of us. There's not a mistake in God. Look, God has a plan for you, and God chose you before you were born. He planned out your life, and he says he separated you from your mother's womb. Let me name off a few people that God had a plan for. Paul the apostle, we know, was Saul before. How about Jeremiah? We just talked about him. How about Peter? Peter was a fisherman, but God had different intentions for Peter's life. How about James? How about John the apostle? How about Barnabas? How about Silas? How about David? How about Jacob? How about Daniel? How about Elijah? How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? How about Abraham? How about Sarah? How about John the Baptist? You know, John the Baptist knew he had a plan on his life before he was ever born. The Bible said he leaped in his mother's womb when Jesus' mother came around because he knew his destiny. He understood his destiny. And that's what I'm talking about. We all have a plan. We all have a destiny. Sarah, Isaiah, folks, the list is endless. Joshua, Caleb. Somebody said, well, I'm too young. David was crowned king at 20 years old. David slew the giant at 19 or 20. You're not too young. Well, I'm too old. Joshua was 80 years old, or 80, and Caleb was 85 when they conquered their destiny. Is that right? JD, is that right? Well, I'm 81, 82, 83. So what? You might just be beginning, just like Joshua and Caleb. Huh? Abraham didn't really get into his real destiny until he was almost 100. Age has nothing to do with it. What has to do with it is we come to the realization that God has a plan for our lives, and that that we get about hooking up with that plan. God has a specific plan for your life, and it is for you and you only. Now, let me say this, because some people will think that I'm just talking about religious things, and that's not what I'm talking about at all. God may call you to be a fireman, and if that's your calling on your life and you fulfill that, you've done what God called you to do. God may call you to be a housewife. My wife, who worked, wanted to be a housewife, knew that that was her calling in life. And we worked and strived every way possible to get in a position that she could stay home and be that housewife. And it ended up being that. And she was happy, fulfilled, and our family was, and it was blessed. I'm not talking about we all are called to be apostles, prophets, evangelists. Some are. And we all have a spiritual calling, the Bible says, but we also have a natural calling that God has for us in life. So I'm not just talking about spiritual things this morning. God has a plan for each and every one of our lives in here. You know that God planned for some people to be doctors? Otherwise, we wouldn't have doctors. Well, how does people know they're going to be a doctor? Because there's a strong innate desire in them at a very young age to become something. And they live and grow and they strive for that. And they just keep going toward it till they achieve that goal. So I'm telling you that God has plans for each and every one of us. Now, I want to say this. I can't fulfill your plan. And you can't fulfill mine. But as sure as I'm standing here today, God has a plan for each and every one of us, and not a one of us are left out. I used to think years ago when I first got into the church, Christianity and church, that I'd hear different things about people's lives, and I think, God, what do you got for me to do? And sometimes I say, oh, I wish I hadn't asked. No, I'm kidding. As sure as I'm standing here this morning, nobody is left out. God has a perfect will for your life. Now listen to this carefully. But most people will never realize that plan for their life. They live in what I call, and what the Bible calls, God's permissive will. And what do I mean by that? That means we never find out what God's plan is for our lives, and we just live whatever comes our way, and ever how it kind of falls out or shakes out in our life, we just live and we make our way through life that way, never really knowing what God had for us and didn't receive God's best because of it. It's called the permissive will of God. God conceived a very wonderful plan for each of us. He predestined each and every one of us to become His sons and daughters by the cross, at the cross. But one potential obstacle stands between us and God perfectly conceived purposes or plans, and that's our free will. God has given us a free will. Every one of us in here has that will. What does that mean? We have the right to choose to walk in God's plan or to not walk in His plan. He has ordained for our lives. God looks for a way. Listen to this carefully. God looks for a way to approach each and every one of us in order to present His personal plans to us for our lives. You say, is God really that concerned about me? I'll tell you how concerned He is about you. He knows how many hairs are on your head, or how many you don't have on your head in some cases. Huh? He knows the color. He knows your DNA, because the Bible says He formed you. You're unique, and there's no one else like you. God knows that because He created you that way. So yes, God looks for a way to approach each and every one of us to present His personal plan with. First of all, this is the first thing that God does for each and every one of us. He begins with the preaching of the cross and encourages us to accept Jesus as our Savior. If we accept that, Jesus is our Savior, and we accept the finished work of the cross, we take the first step into God's plan and predestination for our life. And it was formed before the foundation of the world. Now listen, if we reject that, we will live and die without ever taking the first step into God's plan in our lives. Whose plan will we be fulfilling if we don't step into that plan? Bring up Matthew 7:13-14. I want you to understand this morning. You're the only one that can choose whether or not you step into the plan of God. I can't choose it for you, and you can't choose it for me. Look what it says. This is Jesus talking again. He says, enter into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go thereat. Now can I say that in proper English? Because I know that makes little or no sense. It says, enter into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many will find the broad way that leads to death, destruction. And then look what he says. Now Jesus says this, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and a few be that find it. What is he saying? There is a plan that God has laid out, and only a few are going to find it. Is that what he's saying? When we're talking about salvation right now, that is the first step into the plan of God. You don't go any further in God's plan until you first step into the plan of God. Huh? That's the first step, is salvation. Now, he's saying that most of people, many will go to the broad way and leads to destruction. Few will find the narrow way that leads to life. It's not a narrow way, really. It is the way of Christ. But he's saying is that the first step, that most people won't find Jesus Christ. Is that right? Is that a right interpretation of that? He said most people are going to find destruction in their life. They're not going to find the life that Jesus has set out for them. They're not going to find this life and it more abundant that Jesus talked about. They're going to find the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. Because why? They are choosing to take the wrong path. They are choosing not to follow the path that God has laid out. Come on, church, that's what he's saying. So if we don't make the right choice in the very beginning, the rest of it can't work out. It all starts with choosing the narrow way, which is the way that Jesus Christ says you've got to come. And he says, by the way, I am the way and the truth and the life. In other words, there is no other way other than Jesus Christ. Buddha won't get you there. Islam won't get you there. Allah won't get you there. Muhammad won't get you there. And all these other, whoever they are, won't get you there. Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the only way. He said, I'm the gatekeeper. I'm the one that lets the sheep through the fold. You don't come to Christ, you don't get there. So the first thing we have to do to get into the plan and the thing that God has for us is, first we got to go through the gate. And the gate is Jesus Christ. And he says, we got to make it a choice. Listen to me. Everything we do in life is about choices. And if we don't choose, if you don't choose Jesus, by default, you automatically choose the broad way. Come on, church. That's what he's saying. He said, well, I never thought about it that way, Pastor. Well, you need to think about it that way. Because when you don't choose God, you're automatically choosing the other. You say, no, I like to be in the middle. I don't believe I'm that either. But no, if you don't choose that, you are that. There is no in between. I'm sorry. I used to think, and there's a lot of good people. That doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means you're making wrong choices and you're going the broad way, which is where the masses are going, and they're taking the wrong way. They're not choosing the path of God. They're choosing whatever path they're choosing, whether it's Islam, whether it's Buddha, whether it's just good living and living for yourself in life, and they're never experiencing the plan of God, and consequently, they're going to destruction, according to Jesus' words. So, everything has to do with our choices. And we have to choose God's way. Your will has everything to do whether or not you fulfill the plan that God has for your life. Your will can keep you from heaven and from ever knowing or doing or living the plan that God has for you. While God was planning your life, the Holy Spirit was in the planning sessions with him. Because the Bible says that when they created the earth, he said, let us, he's talking about the Holy Spirit and the Son. The Holy Spirit listened intently to every detail of our lives that God had planned out. From our birth to our ministry to our prosperity to every aspect of our redemption and our personal lives. Did you know that God knows every detail? He planned it out. And the Holy Spirit was there. And He has been placed, the Holy Spirit has been, in charge of overseeing God's plan for your life. He is our God. He is sent to help us fulfill our purpose and plan, our destiny that God has planned for us. In Romans 8:14, it says this about the Holy Spirit. It says that for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Let me ask you this. The Bible says, no man can come unto the Father unless they be drawn by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit leads us through that narrow gate. Is that right? So He says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If we're ever going to experience God's plan, the first thing we got to understand is we have to follow God's leadership. His leadership is through the Holy Spirit. When you were born again, when you committed your life to God and you go through that gate, the Holy Spirit is consented to take up residence within your spirit and to offer His services to you. Did you know the Bible says the Holy Spirit will come and make His abode in us? That means His dwelling place in us. He comes to live and reside in us. And the Bible says we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise also. And He comes to offer His services to you. And this is one of the main reasons He come is to lead you and to pray for you so that you can become everything that God wants you to be, so that you can experience all the plans of God that God has for your life. Now, a lot of people, even though they're born again, they're not experiencing what God has for them. Why? Because they're not letting the Holy Spirit lead them into what He has for them. So we got to learn to cooperate with Him. When He came, He brought His own prayer language with Him so He could pray for all of us and all that concerns us. And with that prayer language, He gets directly involved with you and in a one-on-one relationship that is independent of anyone else. Listen to me. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit your helper. He's come to help us live this life. He's come to help us see what life that God has planned for us. Now listen to me very carefully. If you choose not to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, you don't experience the plan of God in your life. You know, I did that for 8 years. You heard me tell the story. I knew deep down in my... I couldn't even pray. Because every time I prayed, the Holy Spirit would begin to talk to me about what God had purposed for my life. And I would not listen to it. I was going the broad way. I don't mean I was living a life full of sin. I was just choosing not to do what I knew God told me to do. When we left Oklahoma, I left as a associate pastor there. And we came up here and I took the job up here, transferred up here. I decided I didn't want to preach no more. I went to church. I sit in church just like you are here this morning. I paid my tithes. I lived a pretty righteous life. However, I would not follow the leading of the Lord. Took 8 years for God to get me to say yes. Stubborn, huh? Hard-headed. Iron will. But you know, the Bible says, listen to this. He is the potter, we are the clay. Does not the potter have right to shape and form the vessel into what he wants it to? Goes on to tell us to be a vessel of honor, not a vessel of dishonor, doesn't it? Now listen, during that time, that 8-year period, every time I went to pray, and I did pray, by the way, just before I go to sleep at night, and at supper time and meals. I didn't want to pray much more than that because if I did, I'd get convicted. I'm kidding. I did pray a little more than that. I prayed, and when I would pray, the Holy Spirit would begin to massage my will in my heart and begin to... It's like a photograph goes off inside of you. A picture of what He has for you. And during that time, I would just cut the prayer session short and go. Through a bunch of events, it took about 8 years. Finally, God got me in a position where I finally said yes. And here I am today. But I'm telling you that God, I knew that there was a will, there was a purpose for my life. I knew that God had called me. I knew from a very early age. I got saved at 11 years old. And I mean, I got saved. backslid as a teenager. Got married. By the time we was 22, and I'm show you how God orchestrates events. Listen to me carefully this morning. Everybody that's here, you say, well, the church ain't full. Well, there's some that's not here this morning. But I want you to know this morning, every one of you that are here this morning, you're not here by accident. It's a divine appointment. You say, oh, you don't really believe that, do you, preacher? I chose to come. Yeah, you did. But God knew you would be here, is what I'm saying. And God wants you to hear something this morning. He's not just talking to hear himself talk because God's got nothing better to do. I'm telling you, God's got a lot to do. He's got 6 billion people on the earth that he's trying to keep under control and keep us going in the right direction, keep us from just self-destructing. So God's got plenty to do. But I'm saying you're not here by accident this morning. Anyways, when I got saved, got married, the preacher said to me, who I got saved under, this is his exact words. He said, Ron, Donna, he knew we were getting ready to move to Oklahoma. He says, if you don't make Jesus Christ the centerpiece of your life, you'll never experience what God has for you. Oh, that haunted me. When we moved to Oklahoma, and it was a divine appointment to move there, my dad came and visited me, and he was an alcoholic. And he met a Rhema Bible student. And during that time, that guy had invited him, witnessed to him, invited him to go to a camp meeting. I believe it was a summer camp meeting. And might have been a spring camp meeting. I'm not sure. One of those. But anyhow, that guy shows up at my door. My dad's visiting with us. And he knocks on my door, comes to the door and says, I've come to pick your dad up to go to a meeting tonight. And I looked at my wife and I said, he's not here. He stood the guy up. Long story short, he looks at me and says, would you like to go? I looked at Donna and said, well, I feel kind of bad that he stood you up. He said, we'd love to have you go. I said, we're not even ready. He said, I'll wait. We went that night, and lo and behold, I don't remember if we was on the front row, but we was real close to the front row. That was a divine appointment. And my life took a turn for the better right there at that moment. When I watched everything that God was doing in that service that night, and the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart that night, you say, does he really speak to you? Yeah, if you'll listen. The Bible says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit's saying to the church or to the people of the church. Anyhow, I'm sitting there, and that night, I'm telling you that God got into my business, and I got convicted. I didn't get saved that night. I went home thinking, God was really working on my heart. My wife, a girl at work that she worked with, had her go to church with her. She got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit that night or that weekend. And then she came home, and I was a Baptist boy. I didn't know nothing about all that. And she came home, and she was changed. And then the Holy Spirit began to work on me. Then soon I was going to church. First started going more mainly because I was afraid that if I didn't go to church, some nice-looking young man might slip right in there and take her right away from me. Now, that's the way we think, right? You're laughing, but you ain't ever thought that way, I know. You're all spiritual, and I'm the only carnal one. Listen to this. I went because for the wrong reason, but as soon as I got there, the Holy Spirit had been working on me. I went to the altar. I got saved. I changed. And then started going to church, started serving in church. God started revealing His plan to me for my life. I remember going to the Tuesday night prayer meetings, and I didn't even really know how to pray. And I can remember getting down between the aisles so I didn't want nobody to see me because I didn't know how to pray, and I don't want to hear how stupid I was and didn't know how to pray. But I'd listen to everybody else pray. And during that time, God began to reveal His plan to me and began to tell me that I knew I was called to preach 2.5-3 years before I ever got in the pulpit. I began to mow the lawn, vacuum the church, serve on different capacities in the church. And then one Sunday after church, the pastor come up to me. He had no clue that I had. I say he had no clue. I had never told him that I had a calling to preach. That he says, would you like to preach Wednesday night? I said, yes, sir, I believe I would. Between Sunday and Wednesday, I about had a nervous breakdown. Because I said, I don't know what I'm going to say and how I'm going to say it. I've never done this before in my life. How am I going to preach? I got up on Wednesday night And thank God they had one of these wraparound podiums that come around you, and I laid both hands on there, and I mean my knees were shaking. It covered you so nobody could see it. But God is my witness, when I took the platform, an anointing hit me. And I was pretty good. I'm serious. I thought, I can't believe all that came out of me. I gave them everything I had in about 3 minutes. I'm kidding. I went for about 25 minutes. And God began to show me from a very early age, about 22 years old, or 22, when what He had for my life. I'm telling you that God wants to show you. How did He show it to me? Through the Holy Spirit. And how does He get this plan across to us? He takes the plan that He hears from God, the Father, utter, and He pours it through our heart, our spirit. And He begins to reveal it to us. And the language sometimes He uses, it flows through us through a supernatural language, which we call praying in the Spirit. And that gives the Holy Spirit opportunity to pray out the plan of God in your life. Every time we give the Holy Spirit opportunity, He will use His prayer language, or He will use that time of prayer to reveal God's plan or unveil God's plan in your life if you will let Him. He lends Himself to you. And as your faith allows Him to be activated in your spirit, He begins to unfold for you. Bring up Romans 8:27. I want to show you something here, what I'm talking about. He says, this is talking about the Holy Spirit. And He that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Let me read that in another version. Say, and the Holy Spirit that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of God. Capital S. That means the Holy Spirit, which is God. Because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. In other words, He begins to take what God is saying, God's plans are, and He intercedes through you in your prayer time, and He begins to reveal the will of God to you. Now, he only does that when we allow Him to do that. He does this with intention to pray out the plan of God for us. Now bring up verse 28. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Let me read you the New Living Testament, and we don't have that on the overhead, so. But listen to what it says. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purposes for them. In other words, He has a purpose for us. If you take verse 27 that says, the Holy Spirit searches the mind of God for the will of God for your life, and He prays it out in your life, and He says, then He'll cause it all to come together, work together for good to them that are called according to His purposes or according to the plans of God. When we allow the Holy Spirit to pray on our behalf and intercede for us, He'll begin to reveal the plans for us, and He'll cause it all to come together. You know what work together means? How many's ever got your group together and tried to get them to work together? It's like getting a church together, trying to get them in unity. Get them all heading in the right, same direction. If you've ever done a home project and you and your family decided we're all going to do a part, you do this part, you do that part, and it all comes together and the goal is accomplished. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He takes everything in life, everything that God has in the Spirit, and He surrounds you with the right people and puts you at the right place at the right time, and He causes it all to come together so that God's purposes will be fulfilled in your life. That's why I say this morning, you're not here by accident. The Holy Spirit had a part to play in it, whether you knew it or not. You know, even if you're not born again, if you've never given God your life, the Holy Spirit's still working on you. That's why when we see people that aren't saved and we're praying for them, we believe that the Holy Spirit is still ministering to them to get them saved, to draw them into the kingdom. That's why you should never give up on your sons and your daughters or your in-laws or your outlaws if you're praying for them, because God never does. And God is always trying to massage things and work things together to make them to come out according to His plan. The Holy Spirit replaces our plans with the plans that He heard for your personal life before the beginning of time. And He begins to plan it out. Now, bring up Psalms 37:23. I'm getting ready to close here. I'm not going to beat it to death this week because I don't want you to lose everything I said. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. and he delighteth in his way. One version says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. In other words, God predetermined the steps or the path that you should take. Bring up Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will what? He will direct your paths. In other words, when we walk this Christian life, if we will trust in the Lord and we acknowledge Him in all our ways, what does that mean? First of all, I'll say this. God will never take us anywhere that we have to do anything illegal. Come on, church. God will never ask us to do anything that is contrary to what we know His known will is, His general will, which is the Bible. And then we'll learn His specific will. God will never ask you to do something illegal. You know, some preachers get into trouble because they think they got to help God get them to where He told them He wants them to get. When the Bible clearly says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. He already predetermined who you need to meet and who needs to be there to open this door, close that door, do this or do this so that you get to the point where He wants you in life. So God never asked us to have to compromise to get where we need to get in life. The plans of God. He don't have to do that. God's holy. Now He says, if we'll trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding. You know, we don't always have to figure out everything. Because God already knows. Our job is to trust. You know what our problem is sometimes? When we're believing God for something in our life or something we believe God has for us, and we try to figure it out and figure it out and we never come to the right conclusion. And that is not what it tells us to do. It says, lean not to your own understanding. In other words, don't try to reason everything out that God says for you. I didn't know how God was going to get me to into the ministry when I first started. I didn't have a clue. Now, since then, I've took some courses and stuff and educated myself in ministry. But at that time, I didn't know nothing but what I'd read in the Bible. I didn't know how you even go about asking to get to preach or anything like that. I didn't have a clue. But see, God did. He put me at the right place at the right time. He hooked me up with the right person at the right time. And all I did was trust Him. I never told a soul. I didn't even tell my wife I was called to the ministry. Because I was so backwards, I thought, how in the world am I ever going to get up and tell anybody anything? I can't even hold a decent conversation with anybody. But I trusted in the Lord. And it says, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path. Well, how do I acknowledge Him in all my ways? Well, everything that you do, you make sure that you're doing what God says. That's acknowledging Him all your ways. If you're at work and He tells you at work you're supposed to be a good employee, that's acknowledging Him in all your ways when you are. If you're at home and you're supposed to honor your wife and your wife, your husband, if you're doing that, you're acknowledging Him in your ways. If a business deal comes along and it's kind of crooked, you're supposed to acknowledge Him in all your ways and say no to that. Come on, church. If you're filing out your tax, income tax, and you know that you can get a loophole and probably won't get caught, and you'll get an extra $1,000 if you do it, and you go ahead and do that, are you acknowledging Him all your ways? No. So you know what acknowledging Him all your ways means. And everything that you do, you give God the right of way in your life. And then He says, there's a promise that's hooked to that, He shall direct your paths. And He'll get you to your destination. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. I'll give you one more in closing. St. John 16, 13, 14. And this is the Holy Spirit's job to reveal to you the will of God for your life. It says, however, that's what that word howbeit means, howbeit. When He, talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. He's hearing the plan of God. And He will show you things to come. He will glorify Me. He will receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. Show you things to come means reveal to you the future. Is that right? The Holy Spirit will reveal to you what God has in store for you if you'll let Him. And you'll do the things that I'm talking about this morning. If you would bow your heads with me this morning as we close. I want you to know this morning that God does have a plan for your life. You may be 30, 40, 50 years old. I don't know how old you are this morning. And you've never acknowledged God as Lord and Savior. And so, consequently, you didn't even know God has a plan for you today. But I'm telling you, as sure as I'm standing here today, God says in His Word that no one's left out, that He has a plan for everybody. And I'm telling you this too. God's plans are much better than man's plans. The best laid plans of man can never equal what God has for you. God designed you. He formed you. He knows what will make you happy. And that's why He planned your life out in advance and what would fit you, because He designed you that way. It's up to us whether we choose or not. So today, before we close, is there anybody here today? And I don't want to embarrass nobody. All of us come the way of Christ. But if you want to know the plans of God for your life, the first step is acknowledging Him as Savior. Anybody at all, if you just slip your hand up, I'll pray for you right here. You don't even have to come up. You can accept Jesus Christ right where you're at. Anybody at all? Everybody in here has accepted Jesus as Lord. Everybody in here has stepped that way, that plan towards God. Well, I'll take your word for that. Father, I pray today that you'll reveal yourself to every person in here today. Man, woman, child, teenager, husband, wife, son, daughter. God, I pray that you reveal yourself to them and begin to reveal the plan of God to them for their lives. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Now, I want to pray for anybody that has sickness in your body or you just need general prayer for something. If you want me to pray for you, if you'll step to the front, I'll be glad to pray for you today. Anybody at all? Or you're not sure of the plan of God and you want me to pray with you that God will reveal His plan for your life, that you're clear on it. While He's coming, anybody else wants to come, just make your way to the front. Thank you, Jesus.
Build a throne, for you inhabit the praises of your people. You are enthroned on our praises tonight.